Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's happening? Welcome back. You're still getting real with the realest man on radio. In the studio, I have two really good friends, Ron Mayo and Greg Clay. Ron is a former state representative, founder of Education Leadership Council, Inc., and we all know Greg Clay. I call you the people's champ, man.
I appreciate that, Rashad.
You have such high name recognition and respect, especially in the district you ran in. Thank you for being here. And Ron Mayo, my hangout homie.
My friend, congratulations on the Emmy nomination.
Oh, thank you,
I want to recognize that first and foremost. That's a big honor, and I know you've worked hard for a long time. I remember the guy who hit his head on the concrete.
Oh, yeah, you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, man.
So this is he hit his head on the concrete. Greg got up, and look what he's doing now.
God had a plan for me. Back then, I was a drinking man. I stopped drinking a few years back. But, man, I could throw them back, Ron.
I know you could.
You remember that?
I know you could. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, brother.
I'll hear those stories later on, man.
Right, there you go.
I'll ask you.
There you go. We have a remarkable connection now. And let me give the listeners some background. I had Ron Mayo on my show when I was early in radio.
That's right.
And you were a state representative. And we were talking about school choice.
Right.
Man, I tore your ass up, man.
Oh, you got me. I told my wife this morning I was going to be on Rashad Richie's show.
Oh,
and I said, the last time I was here several years ago, he sucker punched me.
Yeah.
I was in the studio to talk about some general topic related to education.
Right.
And he hit me out of left field. Knew I was a charter school advocate.
Well,
and at the time, we had a charter school amendment and several things happening in government. And he challenged me. And he called me out, and Rashad does his research and always has facts.
Mm.
And, he got me that day. But we can throw him some other time. And I know today we're going to talk about education reform and equity and all these great things.
Well, right. And we're talking about Book, Better Outcomes for Our Kids. And Book did something quite remarkable because I always looked at this issue from the lens of the political. Okay. And you got to be real careful when you have not heard the other side. And because of my experience with Book, I'm more intentional about hearing the other side before I form a public opinion. So let me tell you what happened with me. You and I had that debate. I then brought David Mitchell on my show, who's in charge of Better Outcomes for Our Kids. We had a debate, okay? He really didn't move me. He had some good points, and I even conceded that he had good points on the show, but he didn't move me. Then David did something quite remarkable. He said, Rashad, I want to fly you to Washington, D.C., and I want you to take a tour with this small group. I said, okay. He said, it's a charter school, publicly funded charter school tour. Mm-hmm. And I took this tour thinking, I'm going to see some decent stuff, but at the end of the day, I'm not being swayed. I went to this tour, and I went inside of these schools, and, man, I saw black children who were receiving a world-class education, but more than that, there was an emphasis put on them going to HBCUs. You couldn't do that in the regular public school setting. They had 100% college acceptance rates in these institutions. There were black men leading these schools, teaching at these schools, because the schools put an emphasis on making sure they hired black male teachers, something you can't really do out loud in a regular or traditional public school system. And in D.C., they did some things a little differently than we do in Georgia that I really appreciate. In D.C., they are almost half of publicly funded charter schools. So almost half of the schools in D.C. are publicly funded charter schools. They have something like a superintendent over the charter school program, so there's a level of bureaucracy and oversight from the actual government. There are a lot of things tailor-made for that district that are not tailor-made for the state of Georgia. And I think we could benefit from merging those two systems so that the system is fairer. There are still issues here in Georgia that I want to address and I would love for us to address it as a group. But I'm no longer against the idea of school choice. I'm just not against it because the proof to me is in the pudding. And I know that this, I know there are people listening to me right now saying, oh my God, I can't believe Rashad just said that. If you look at it from a student-centered perspective, what's best for the student? These students are getting cultural awareness training. These students are taking 5 times more trips in a year than their regular public school counterparts. I say this all the time on my show. There are cats from the hood smarter than me. They're still in the hood. I see them often when I go over there. The benefit I had that they did not have, I had some culture experiences young.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see things that they didn't see, and it changed my perspective about the hood. So I just wanted to put that out there, man. So I'm not here to argue with you. I will still debate some points with you, Ron, and even Greg. But the overall issue of is school choice good? Yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. Got to figure out how it works for each community,
right. But
it's a good thing.
Right. Right. And one of the biggest arguments, Rashad, has been the scalability. We talk about the great environment that many of these children are able to go to for school to get this good education, high-quality education. But the scalability factor is an issue for many people in the communities that say all children in Atlanta Public Schools won't have access. All of the children in Clayton or DeKalb County Public Schools won't have access to that high-quality, high-performing, high-demand charter school. And therein lies one of the challenges. How can we? And what point they've made is that we need to take some of those ideas from charter schools and figure out how to incorporate them into the traditional public schools, because ultimately, the traditional public schools will educate a majority of our children.
Right, right.
Bottom line.
Mm-hmm. I was at Kipp Collegiate's college signing day. I was their keynote speaker. This was last month. They brought all of their students for this one-day event. Over 3,500 students. If you include faculty, administrators, and parents, we had over 4,000 people in the building. All right? Here's what I saw. Not only did I see this excitement about signing up for college. Man, it was like an NFL draft.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they came out with their jerseys from the institution they were going to.
Right.
And everybody cheered when they announced what college they were going to. It was an amazing experience. But here's what else I saw. They had performances, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke at 8 commencements last month. 8. All majority African-American except one institution. Kipp Collegiate is a majority African-American mm-hmm. educational system. I assume that when they said we have to pause at this point for a performance, it was going to be a similar performance like I've seen at other schools, where somebody's singing, it's a nice choir. These cats came out with shades, with their J's, rapping.
Right.
And killing it.
Right.
Rapping about positive stuff, though. And the school was so freaking into it.
Mm-hmm.
The white teachers, black teachers, the students, the parents. And I said, wow,
mm-hmm.
this is Kipp embracing the culture of blackness.
And that's a big part of the education cycle, right, Rashad? And so when we look at the platform that both Ron and I are part of, the Men of Book that launched last spring, you know, our particular position is those types of experiences. Those are the types of things that you can scale in a lot of different schools, right? It's not something that's unique to Kipp Atlanta Collegiate.
Right.
It's just that you've got a leadership culture that understands that bridging those types of conversations leads back to the educational experience when it comes to celebrating how critical it is to the journey on your next step, whether it be college, whether it be the military, but some type of season where you're celebrating these types of things. It isn't just a, you know, something that Kipp Atlanta Collegiate could do. It's something that all schools can be a part of.
On the other side of the break, I want us to dissect how a local community controls a publicly funded charter school, because I think that gets missed in the debate. How a local neighborhood, a black neighborhood, mm-hmm. can control their own educational reality for their children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's talk about that on the other side, how that works. 404-892-2703, Realest Man on Radio.
Baby, baby. Prime time. What's baby facing, trifling? I made my way through crisis. I made my tape and recorded portraits in front of sirens. I made you hate the vibrant. You can't escape.
What's happening? Welcome back. In the studio, I have a former state representative, Ron Mayo, and the big homie, Greg Clay. They are members of the Men of Book. Book stands for Better Outcomes for Our Kids. We're talking about educational equity. The reason why I have you on the show today is because tomorrow the U.S. Congress, a subcommittee, will meet to discuss creating a commission to study the cause and effect dynamic that slavery created. You can't say that it has not touched our institutions of education as well.
Incredibly. It's had a profound impact on education in this country. When you think about the achievement gap, which starts at age zero, when a child is born, if that child has a parent who reads to he or she, then they are going to have a vocabulary that is 200,000-300,000 words greater than that child who has a parent that does not read to them. They enter kindergarten, Rashad, several hundred thousand words behind, and that achievement gap grows every year until we reach the point where the kid may be discouraged and they don't feel successful and productive. Perhaps that leads to dropout. Perhaps that perpetuates this prison industrial society we have and many of the other things that plague society. My point is we ought to invest in early education. Universal pre-K needs to be part of this broad-based discussion around compensation for injustices. Universal pre-K and education reform at all levels, including the student loan debt crisis we're facing now with many in Generation X, Y, and Z who are strapped and straddled by thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loan debt, unable to advance their lives, buy homes, and become successful members and productive in society.
Somebody broke it down like this. When you're playing a game and everyone knows the rules and the referees are basically fair, let's say it's a football game, and all you're told to do is play hard, score more points, and you'll win. Well, you get to the fourth quarter, you're in the lead, you've worked hard, you've studied harder, you've trained harder, you know the plays better, and your team is more talented. However, last second of the fourth quarter, you realize that your opponent inherited 100 points. That is the conversation of equity. Mm-hmm. Equity. You don't win in that game. You never really win in that game. I'm of the mindset that black children learn differently. So let me talk about that just for a moment. And this is why local control to me is important, okay? I'm finishing my second doctorate at Clark Atlanta University. Dr. Akua, who's my dissertation chair, has expanded my mental parameters as it relates to understanding pedagogy and teaching styles and learning styles. And he taught a lesson one day about how black people are just as analytical as anyone else, but we analyze based on relationship. So we have relational analytical skills. If you can prove to me the relationship to me and the content, then my analytical brain is more powerful than most. But if you simply explain the content in a cognitive or academic sense, I'm not as naturally analytical as it relates to that content. Now, this has been proven through research that black people simply learn a little differently than whites or Hispanics or even Asians. It's a different learning style. Well, that makes sense when you look at atmosphere, when you look at social engineering, when you look at what we were taught. We learn or accept information differently. Local control is important to me, and here's why. Black folks in a community understand how best to educate their black children. You can't get that with traditional public education every time. And I'm not downing traditional public education. The woman who adopted me, Nicole, who adopted me, is still to this day a public school teacher. She was one of my adoptive moms. I love public education. I love my school teachers. But you cannot disregard the fact that there's a dynamic of control that can exist in a publicly funded community charter that you can't have in a traditional school.
And Rashad, that control can be one that's very organic. A lot of times when you look at the autonomy that schools have on the school choice movement, the boards, the representatives that are allocating the resources are members of the community. It can be very organic in cases where folks that understand the dynamics that you just mentioned are responding to those resources and working with stakeholders in order to be a better learning center, a better learning environment for the issues that different communities plague. And that's not just in the Atlanta metro area. That goes for a lot of different urban areas experiencing maybe some of the same things, but the issues might be more unique, right?
Yeah, I agree. And if there's a push for more local control, how does that benefit the student? Like, let's go back to the student. How does that push for local control of a publicly funded charter benefit the student in that neighborhood?
I've always said the best government is the government closest to the people.
Okay.
Local government, and it doesn't get any more local than a community group of parents who live, work, and play in a community. When that group comes together with stakeholders, leaders, professionals that have a background in finance or accounting or law or education, they get together and decide they want to start a school. This is a group of parents, stakeholders in a community who are dissatisfied with their options. They can petition the local school district. They can go to APS or any school system in the state for Georgia and submit an application, a charter petition, after they've developed an application and created a plan for how they're going to manage these public resources responsibly and demonstrate that they can find the facility and allocate the resources properly for the right administrative staff. And they have an understanding of how to operate a school. Once they have done that, they submit a petition to the local school district. It then receives consideration from the district administration, and they recommend to a school board, in this case, say, for instance, City of Atlanta, APS, the administration would make a recommendation, approve or reject this charter petition, at which point the school district can say yes or no. Point I want to make here, and it's very important, and this is why we had the state constitutional amendment in 2011, which allowed the state to serve as an authorizing body. When you think about the money, the resources, it's all about money, Rashad, and we think about this $3,000 teacher pay raise and who's getting to make a decision and how much is going to be distributed. It's all about controlling resources, and parents at the local level who organize, petition, form a school will be able to make those decisions about curriculum, whether or not they want to celebrate and highlight HBCUs, if they want to have a lesson on slavery and things that are relevant and important to that community, be it the African-American community, the Jewish community, or any other social group or affinity group that has a theme around that school. They form a school. They go to the local petition, the board and petition. The school board can say yes or no. The argument that many on the pro-charter side make is that it's in that district's interest, it's in the school district's interest to say no, because that charter, that group of parents and that charter school will be taking resources and controlling those resources. Not taking them, but controlling. It's not about taking, because you're distributing the resources back to the same kids in the same community.
Let me pause on that point, because that used to be my hang-up. Because I said, wait a minute, it makes sense for places in the Atlanta metro area which are better funded than places, let's say, in Worth County, Doherty County, Chattooga County, where you have more scarce resources for the educational system. But I realized that when you look at it as a whole, the same students that are in the charter system that you are now allocating resources to take care of, those would have been the same students in the traditional public system as well.
Same kids.
So you're not really taking, you're simply reallocating for the students who have decided to transition to this particular institution. It's as if a new school is built. If a new school is built, you don't necessarily get new students. You simply split a big school.
That's right.
That's all you do.
And we've also got to recognize, I know you got a break, but a lot of the schools that are doing really well in some of those neighborhoods that we all know are really challenged, they have very long wait lists. And I'm not talking hundreds of families, thousands of families.
Yeah.
When it comes to that dissatisfaction that you talked to, Ron,
right.
We've got wait lists for schools with thousands of families that are looking for a choice for their student that they're just not satisfied with the traditional school in the area.
Another benefit that I learned through research and doing the tour is that some of these institutions taught African studies, and they taught it the right way. And they were teaching African studies with a bona fide African-trained professor or teacher. And I asked one of the administrators, I said, well, what was the process to get the curriculum approved and who was part of the oversight? They said, oversight? He said, we make decisions as a community here. And this brother said, and if I make the wrong decision, I got about 100 very active parents who will let me know because the parents become his board. I thought it was really interesting. And, I mean, this cat was teaching in a dashiki and everything, man. I mean, when was the last time you seen, I'm serious. I mean, this was his regular attire. And it was all good and celebrated and embraced. I had never seen anything like that.
No doubt.
In a public school.
Yeah. And public education, Rashad, I believe is a concept which says it's in the public's interest to educate children.
Right.
That education comes through a number of delivery systems,
right,
which you just described as one. Homeschooling is another, and they're a variety. It's not a one-size-fits-all right. system, and there's no panacea. There's no one solution that's going to fix all of our problems.
We got more on the other side. Realest Man on Radio. No more slang of apes on the corner, and all the I used to freestyle with, I ate with the way people perceive and what they believe. Money short, so this jewelry is like a weave meant to deceive. And here you can say, I see you. Now, want to... I want to know people's thoughts. I want to know how you feel about this entire debate of school choice. And I had a conversation with the big homie. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Still, I got Greg Clay, Ron Mayer on the show. How can people give us their opinion? I want to know how people feel about the entire debate of school choice. Yeah,
we are, like I mentioned, Rashad, for listeners out there, we are, Ron and I, representing a group called the Men of Book. Book is Better Outcomes for Our Kids. And we're trying to bring more African-American males to the dialogue and the conversation. We think there's this need of this clarion call. And so filling out a survey online at our website, bookatl.org, bookatl.org, is one of the ways that folks can not just stay connected with what it is that we're doing, with events, conversations, and dialogues, but it's an opportunity for us to receive feedback from a lot of different opinions out there about the school choice movement, whether you're up or down on it, hot or cold on it. We want to make sure that we're keeping our front door open to make sure that folks are able to intersect with the conversation. And our goal, Rashad, isn't necessarily to push folks towards charter schools. It is to have this very candid conversation about school choice options based off the dissatisfaction of what our communities have gone through for not just decades, but for a very long time. Right, Ron?
That's right.
Just for a very, very long time.
And not only that, Rashad, we also want to promote and highlight areas where school systems and the academic community as a whole can improve. We want to be a voice for the voiceless in the process of demanding better resources from our school systems. We understand how education works at a high level. We understand that everyone can't show up to a school board meeting. Everyone doesn't know how to navigate and go down to that district office and ask how can they get their child in a better performing school. There are many parents who are sitting at home scratching their heads every night wondering how they can get their child out of a struggling school into a better environment. We want to be that voice. We want to be that support group, men in the community that lend our hand and our time to be able to promote some of those things to help people. So it's about outcomes, so better outcomes for our kids, not just choice and or charters or reform. It's about outcomes and how can we influence the school districts and the education establishment as a whole to ensure that our children are getting better outcomes.
Mm-hmm. And we're launching this program or this platform just a few months ago. Myself, Ron, the other men of Book, all of our stakeholders, our strategic partners that we're continuously building. I mean, really just with even this platform that you're providing, Rashad, we want to make sure that folks know that we're going to be available as we ramp up and look at the upcoming school year. We're going to be doing certain activities that we want people to plug into. But more importantly, going to bookatl.org, letting us know your thoughts, filling out our survey, letting us know how we can stay in contact with you in order to get to this conversation that needs to happen over and over again.
I'm trying to find the survey on the website because I want to make sure people mm-hmm. do take advantage of it. And I'm at bookatl.org, mm-hmm. and it is not clear to me exactly where to go take the survey. So
we may have to – it's down at the bottom of the website, a link is, but we're working with our webmaster to make sure that information is something that's clear and direct. when people come to, you know, our stakeholders page and especially our homepage, the Facebook page I know is readily accessible there as well. And so we'll make sure that information is readily available for our listeners out there.
Okay, perfect. And Roland Martin, let me talk about Roland Martin for a second. Roland and I, we disagreed on some points of school choice or school options. And over time, I've been able to understand his point of view better because he takes this very hardline approach to the performance data of some school districts, and he compares them to the charter equivalents inside of that school district. He's been able to do this. He has a sound research staff that helped him with those numbers. What I'm realizing is that charter programs or school choice options should look differently in different places. Mm-hmm. It should not be a one-size-fits-all. I think Georgia has more of a one-size-fits-all scenario right now. That's why a lot of people reject it. Some people embrace it. A lot of people still reject it because it seems like a broad stroke. Mm-hmm. D.C., the system I saw was not a broad stroke. It was really specifically tailored for education in that city. Mm-hmm. And it worked for them. It worked quite well for them.
And there are some traditional schools, again, that we are really, really big fans of and advocates for because the leadership, the superintendents, the folks, the parents on the ground have really taken a proactive approach to some of that performance information, whether it be very, very involved parents and stakeholders in the PTA or alumni associations. And so there are some conversations that we have on a regular rhythm with some traditional schools as well. And so that school choice conversation, even with families that are interested in moving in or out of a neighborhood or community based off of that traditional school, there's also this dialogue that comes to, again, what Ron mentioned, homeschooling options, the charter school options, or even folks that want to go vertical with building the team around, building their own school. We've seen that time and time again, even for myself as a chair of a charter school board in South Fulton County that just graduated 40 students last week. Shout out to Skyview folks. I mean, we're doing work and working with Tri-Cities, Banneker, Langston Hughes down in South Fulton and partnering with those schools to get students and young folks where they need to be educated out the door and being productive members of society.
Let's go to Ron in Southwest Atlanta. He has a question. Ron, good day. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Rashad. Appreciate being able to talk to that's Greg Clay.
How you doing, sir?
Is that correct? Good, good. How you doing, Greg? And then the Ron there, the that's not the Ron that has the charter school now, is it?
No, sir.
Okay, good, good, good. I just wanted to know who talked to. You know, there's a real disservice that's being done to the historical brilliance of the people who, like your foster mother, Rashad, and other professionals who have dedicated their lives and have seen those students trickle in all fields of life to great success who come out of public education and who have been the primary students who have attended HBCs. And the thing about it, that from the teachers' profession that's being broke up, that who has a big presence of African-American in the city of Atlanta, majority, historically, that the black educator has been that leader in the community, that first middle class or second middle class in our community. And for all of us to eat off that plate, and that plate has served us well under so much disparities and discrimination, and to see that plate dropped and scattered all over this city with people taking the opportunity to be profiteers. The truth of the matter is that the school breakup is all centered to gear up and to stock up the push for gentrification in our communities, because they cannot come in and break up communities unless they control the number one resource in communities that's brought in by a tax base, is because it's a tax revenue. And they don't want to give up that because they want to have that control of that resource. But
all right, Ron, I'm going to a commercial break, brother. I need you to get to a question if you have one.
Well, I think that, my history is that of talk about education. You're talking about it now.
Listen. I got guests on the show.
You can't hold me over. I just asked the question.
Do you have a question? Or you got commentary?
I have a comment, but let me just ask.
Okay, well,
question.
Go ahead, brother. You're taking a while to make it.
Well, the fact is, we know you want to break it up because you seem like you're bought into this love and this glorifying and the breaking up of our community because that's
hold
exactly
on, Ron.
We're
gonna stop
doing,
it. We're gonna stop this. Cut the damn music,
well,
Ron. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, brother.
You ain't gonna tell me nothing.
No, I'm gonna tell you something. I'm putting you on hold, brother. I do more by 12 noon than what your ass do in 12 months. Let's make that clear. I get more accomplished by 12 noon than what you get done in 12 months. And I'm going to hold you over for the other side because I'm not done with you. You're getting real with the realest man on radio.
Made it, then I faked it and acted like I gave up. Money I was saving up to buy a crib that's gated to that 100 racks. I gave it up. For what?
And I love it. And I love it.
Let me hurry up and get back to Ron. Ron Shakur. Ron, are you still with me?
Yes, sir. I'm not running. I'm not.
All right. So let's
you.
Be.
You
let's be. Hold on, brother.
Hang up on you, sir.
Hold on, brother. Let's go back to what you said about me.
I'm not running. I'm right here.
Let's go back to what you said about me. See, we can debate.
Yeah, but it's not. It's more about you.
Okay,
it's
Ron. But you said something about me, brother. And I'm going to tell you how I feel about what you said about me.
Right,
now, if you don't want to get these, if you don't want to get these words, brother, don't call my show. Talking about me. Now, damn it, you're going to get these words. If you don't want to get them, don't call the show talking about me. We can debate a policy issue and leave it at the policy issue. But when you utter words out of your mouth that say, I am bought into the destruction of black people, you done lost your damn mind. Now, I'm putting you back on the program so you can get these words, as I said. Ron, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I thought I was on the line. You was hitting me pretty hard. Okay.
So
we're
Ron,
there now, right?
Mm-hmm. So Ron,
okay,
brother, when a man matures in his thinking about a policy issue, that is a conversation worth having among other men and women, those who care about the community. We can disagree on a policy issue. That's fine. And believe me, brother, it takes leadership to publicly admit that you have matured on a particular subject item that you are hardcore against. That takes leadership. That's what I have. Now, Ron, you and I may disagree on a policy point, but don't you ever question my character as it relates to the upliftment of black people, because you're the same Ron Shakur that got kicked out of your own HOANPU meeting. They kicked you out. You weren't allowed to come back. I'd be damned if you kicked me out of my own NPU meeting, but they did that to you. Come on, man.
Yes,
how
sir.
Effective well, are you, sir? You can't even get five people at the NPU to do something you asked them to do, and you called them my show like you run something. You run nothing over here, Ron.
Nothing, but I'm talking about you started this show talking about the oppression and the cruelty.
Yeah, and that's fine, but brother, you called the show talking about me. That was your mistake.
Okay, well, I'm asking you a question. Well, can I participate in this, or you gonna cut me off? What's
no, you can't. You can go ahead and ask your question, brother. I'll let Greg and Ron answer whatever question you may have, brother.
Okay.
Ron, keep my name out your mouth, man. Go ahead.
Yeah. We have systems that we have been, and it has been very successful about producing citizens and have put us in political and industrial lanes that we have shown ourselves to be very competitive and have contributed a lot to the society from public education. The fact is that these new innovative things is profit driven and it's a part of the breakup of our communities, Rashad. If you look at the excellence and concentrate on the excellence, and we have done that in light of and have to do it and break through all the negative culture that's presented about us through so many different entertainment, through falsehood, and through false testing. A lot of this is what Greg and Ron is talking about. It's the proof in testing, the proof in graduation. Instead of looking at the hundreds of millions of dollars and billions of dollars has been cut from public education. And to say they're community schools, let's tell the truth about that. We know that when you see these schools like Drew and Cadenzie and their boards make money.
But I want you to give them, I want you to give these brothers who are here on the program an opportunity to respond to you. You come in spaces that, Ron, you got to stop coming in spaces just to create commentary. Have a discussion. We are all men. Have a discussion. Ask a question. Make a point and allow them to create rebuttal to your point if they choose to. That's how this works.
Right. Rashad, he made a point in this whole conversation.
Ron, you got a question or do you want to land a point so they can respond?
We've been talking about community schools. Here's the question, Rashad. The question is, is he sure that these schools represent community access? We have seen people being dropped off in Mercedes-Benz and all the expensive cars, and the people in the community and the parents in the community cannot even get to these schools, and they stay right around the corner from these schools. The fact is that this conversation ought to be had and ought to be had other than just a favor of what we're hearing is now, where we're not giving this opportunity to really have a robust
brother, I have conversations as I choose to on my show. If you want to have a different conversation, get your own show to do that. Now, Ron, is that your question to them about people dropping off children in Mercedes? Is that your question? Because I need them to be able to respond, brother. You've been taking up all the damn airtime.
Here's my question here. Have testing in our school systems and the classroom size and the hundreds of millions of dollars have been cut, what has been the impact on that? And what is the impact of these here schools in connection with charter and the presence of black folks being pushed out of communities?
Ron,
what's the connection there?
Couple of points I want to address. For one, you mentioned that charter schools are driven by profit. All charter schools in the state of Georgia are for-profit entities. Now, I won't say there are not any for-profit CMOs, the charter management organizations that operate. And
no, I think you're saying all charter schools are non-for-profit?
They're not profit organizations.
They're not profit,
Board members are unpaid. And when you have services that may be contracted, I think that's where people make the mistake of saying that these are for-profit schools. Sure, you are outsourcing some services. However, our public school systems outsource services.
Like food, et cetera.
Look at the hundreds of millions of dollars in construction costs that we're spending through our tax dollars going to Atlanta Public Schools, DeKalb's Public Schools, Clayton County Public Schools. They raise hundreds of millions of dollars that go to rebuild these schools. So to say that, you know, there is not a profit motive, someone's making a profit off of our public schools. And the next point I want to make, Ron, is taxpayers are asking, they're demanding these charter schools you claim to be so destructive. And I'm not suggesting that they're going to be this panacea where they're going to cure all of society's problems. I'm not even suggesting that our public schools will not continue to educate a majority of our children. And we absolutely need to fund adequately our public schools and give them the resources necessary. I'm a strong advocate for that. However, I'm also an advocate for giving parents an option when they're dissatisfied as taxpayers, Ron. Taxpayers. They're footing the bill. Taxpayers are the boss, okay? Not the teachers' unions and not the armchair activists who have been around for the last 60 years with the same tired arguments. I grew up at a time in the 80s when parents were scared to send their children to schools in Los Angeles, in South Central Los Angeles, because there were gangs in schools. So when we're talking about culture, we're talking about taxpayers having a choice, having an option other than the one you want to make available that they don't want.
And let me tell you about, Ron, when it comes to the native perspective. Now, I'm K-12 Atlanta Public Schools. My parents, I'm fourth generation Atlantan. We know public school in Atlanta. And when it comes to this conversation about the confidence that generations have had with how public schools have been managed and ran, the confidence has been dropping year by year by year. Now, I'm not saying that the option when it comes to school choice is something that's going to be a silver bullet, but we've got to recognize that even the traditional public schools are trying to find innovative ways to reach our students. The opportunity to have charter schools, the opportunity to have different types of options where folks can't afford to send their kids to private schools or other options that cost money. We've got to be responsible with the public dollar that says we have got to respond and pivot to the crisis that's happening within our public and traditional schools.
Let me respond to that. Greg, you know yourself that when you was in high school and your daddy was in high school, there was choices in APS. You was able to go to majority, and we always are majority to minority schools, and we also had choices where we have gone to private schools in our community, African-American
schools. And Ron, you know what school I was supposed to go to? I was zoned for Thorough, but my mother said as a Thorough alum, as a graduate of Thorough, over her dead body will she go and send me to Thorough. She sent me to Mays High School.
Options was there, and you did the option. But to your other fellow comment about the boards and the profiteer, Shirley Franklin had made public statement that she gets $150,000 to sit on the board. This idea, and what is the life expectancy, what the data say, that your charter schools, they usually fail in 2.5 years of operation. We cannot risk the break of our communities by putting our public schools and our community historical schools and have them switched out for a majority of new people that's coming to empower, and they are conducting and controlling our schools and minimizing and closing
our
public schools.
I got to go to a hard break. Ron, I appreciate your call, brother, and we'll continue the discussion. Gentlemen, I appreciate y'all being on the show. The solution is obviously a hybrid of what's happening now and the newness of what education and those who are in educational leadership are bringing. Remember, hold on, I know we had a commercial, man. Cue the music for a second because I want everyone to hear this. I take education seriously. Not only am I a college professor, I decided to go back to college to get my second doctorate in education. I'm about 10, 11 months away from having my doctorate of education. This is serious to me, okay? I understand the political talking point because I was there myself. But understanding both sides of the argument, we can probably actually create a system that works for children first, parents second, and the general community third. That's how this should be. Gentlemen, I thank you both for being on the program. How can people connect with Men of Book and Better Outcomes for Our Kids?
So be sure to visit our website, bookatl.org. We are vertical on Facebook with a lot of information about upcoming events, our survey, as I mentioned. We want to make sure that folks, as we move into this new school year, are very, very informed about how we ramp up the Men of Book and bringing African-American men not just to the table for conversations, but for action in education.
Well said. Thank you both. I appreciate you. Ron, we're going to get you some water, brother.
Thank you.
All right. News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.